And before the next episode of the Yalabat podcast, here's a little message from Folklery. One big reason why we started Folklery is because we truly believe that everyone has a story. But not everyone gets a chance to share theirs, let alone have it preserved for generations. Especially for your parents who weren't able to record their lives on social media. Now the sad reality is that they're not going to be around forever, but their stories can. So if you have a special someone in your life whose stories and memories you'd like to capture for yourself, your family, or even your kids in the future, how about a Folklery? We make it super simple. We'll interview them over a phone call and turn that conversation into a studio quality podcast that you or your loved ones can listen to whenever they like, forever. It'll also make for an extremely meaningful gift for someone's birthday or anniversary this April or May. And if you order by 31st March, you'll get your Folklery delivered with this limited edition Bluetooth cassette, styled as a good old retro mixtape. How cool is that? So you can listen to them directly from this the moment you receive it. You can find out all the info you need at folklery.com, and you can also chat with us directly on WhatsApp at the link in the show notes. So check it out, because we'd love to help you create something special. And now, on to the podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala, your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
Good old humor. It is a interesting week so far.
Been a busy couple of days, huh?
Lots of stuff happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always nice, like, when there's so many things in the news that we know we can talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like we don't have enough podcasts to capture all the news.
Don't have enough time to process everything.
Because
everything is coming out like, wow, so many articles. It's just floods of like videos, articles.
Yeah.
It's only that much one man can consume, right?
Correct. That's why we got two men. Two men here.
Two men, yeah.
And also, I just realized that there's something you want to let our listeners know about the coming weeks.
Oh yeah, I'll be going away on vacation.
Oh yeah,
so I'll be away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
long one. But we're not stopping, right?
Yeah, we're not stopping.
Because I think the Yalabat format, people know what it is.
Yeah,
we have some great guests lined up and some pre-recorded guest episodes, but yeah, also some of the regulars coming back, right?
Yeah.
Some regulars, some new people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it won't be quiet.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're still going to get your podcast where we talk about two topics. It's just not going to be with Terrence.
Yep.
But we've done it before with like Rishi and Andy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got some interesting people lined up. Yeah. Podcast will continue. The show will go on.
Mm.
But yeah, you're excited for your trip,
I mean, you know how like every time just before you go on a trip, stuff happens. And in our realm of current affairs, podcasts, all that, so many exciting things came up early this week, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, god damn, we only got one podcast to really talk about it, right?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. As a sign of the times, right? Like just news cycle every week is just so much more things to talk about.
Yeah. But I remember last time when I was going for a trip, and before that, I also was saying, oh, you know, so many things to talk about. I remember you telling me, hey, just shut up, okay? Don't make it seem like you're so hardworking. Just go and enjoy yourself and all.
Yeah.
But you're feeling it now, right?
I know about hardworking. I don't want to work. I just want to read all these articles and just talk about them. That's all.
But in some way, that's our work,
You can say.
It's a nice, how you say, cross between what you would want to do and our work.
I believe that anyone who says that you never work a day in your life, it's bullshit.
Correct.
Yeah. So I don't even consider it work. I consider it just cathartic, conversation.
You read on the plane.
I can read on the plane, but I mean, I'm there with a child also, it's difficult to really focus on things. Here's easier. This is our
enclave, our coliseum.
Where
there's verbal debates.
Verbal debates and people are listening and cheering us on. They want a bloodbath,
That's true. The thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Almost can't wait to get started on today's topic, sir.
Correct. But our regular things, we must talk about the weather, right?
Correct.
The weather has still been freaking crazy.
Hot,
And I don't know whether it's just a coincidence that all these crazy things coming up when, weather is so hot, right?
Mm.
Everyone's temperature rising, reporters falling over each other and things like that.
cannot think straight. Cannot think straight.
No one can think straight.
Yeah, heat is really, you wait at a traffic light. Like, I mean, I know I've said this before, you wait at a traffic light, it feels like you're burning, but literally, it's hot. I think the hottest it's been this year, man.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's literally, I don't feel lazy for saying, oh, I don't want to exercise outside now because it's like that hot. Because it really is like, you could come back with a heat stroke at the end if you go and exercise outside, right?
And funny, there was this news that some researchers found that 1.7 kilometers deep in Singapore, temperatures are hot enough to cook an egg. People are saying, hey, what the hell? You just put it on the ground out now in the sun, you should be able to cook an egg.
I thought you were going to talk about another strand of research that apparently... hotter climates lead to higher rates of infertility.
That's true.
So then I think recently there was some research that came out and they didn't differentiate between tropical and non-tropical climates. So I'm like, we have heat all year round. Does it mean that we are just like boiling our innards?
Isn't it a thing that like high temperature for a man's private parts are not good for fertility in general?
Correct. In general. But then if you live year round in a hot country, does that explain our fertility, our birth rate dropping so low? You know, does that help to explain?
I mean, yeah, it's probably one reason.
Somewhat related, right?
Contributing factor, the biggest factor. Because can you imagine, like, then suddenly the rhetoric becomes, it's not about the stress, it's not about the high cost of living, it's too hot. Global warming is causing our fertility to go down.
You know?
Nothing to do with working too hard.
And then someone will ask in parliament, how cold do you need to have children? How cold do you need it to be? To have sex.
Correct. Yeah, in a small box can, now small, like, cold place
small
can.
Ice box,
small ice box. Small ice box. But man. Cool.
Oh, yes.
Before we jump into things, what is the regular plug, Terrence?
If you're new here, please consider subscribing or following wherever you're listening to this podcast or watching it. Because that really helps us get picked up by the algorithm. It trains the algorithm. What you're doing is training the algorithm to realize that, hey, people want to listen to this podcast. And it trains the algorithm to feed it to other people. And that's what's important to us, right?
Yeah, man. And if you want to work with us, you want to do anything with us, you can check out all we do and reach out to us at our website, ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
There's all the details there. Holler.
Yes.
Cool, man.
All right.
Let's jump right into it.
And what has happened that, you know, has put Singapore on a somewhat of a global map.
Yeah, somewhat global map.
Yeah.
It was that yesterday, 25th March, early in the morning, when Law and Home Affairs Minister Shanmugam was at a breakfast event, and he had a little doorstop interview where he talked about how there had been a post by the Israeli embassy that was asked to be taken down. And it was something that he completely found unacceptable. He made a very strict stance. I think now you can barely find a post anywhere. I know even Wake Up Singapore shared the post, but now when you go to the link, it says literally it's taken on because they complied with a legal request to take from IMDA to take it down.
No, Wake Up Singapore shared a screenshot of the post.
Has been taken down. So, I mean, there's been a lot of chatter. And when you say global, like if you look, news outlets around the world have talked about this, even on X. And generally, a lot of the non-Singaporeans are pointing out that, hey, this is pretty baller, you know, that the ministry clamped down so fast on a post like this.
Yeah.
This is interesting in many ways. But what made you want to talk about it?
It's global news. Singapore on the map again after Taylor Swift. But the first thing I do admit that I was a bit, I had to Google a little bit to understand, was Vivian Balakrishnan saying, that's not on. Yeah. That's what he meant by, that's how he expressed his problem with the post. Did you see the interview?
I saw the interview, but I don't remember him saying that. What did he say?
It's in the title of the YouTube video when he talks about it. That's not on. Yeah, correct. Do you understand the meaning of that's not on?
No.
Yeah.
That's not on. Yeah, that is the title.
Apparently. So I looked it up. I was like, who says... It's not on. But apparently, it's a British informal slang or term for that's unacceptable.
Is it?
Yeah, that's not on. Yeah.
Vivian B, so, man.
Today, Vivian Balakrishnan has taught us something new. But
that's not on.
That's not on. Yeah, it's not on, Harish. It's not on that you don't know what that's on. This.
Actually, it makes sense. Because when you talk to someone who's a bit weird and all, you say, well, that guy's a bit off.
Yeah.
So he's not on, lah.
Last time when in the army, like, I think up was like a very cool thing to say. Like, we were like, wow, up lah, you know. Yeah. Completely illogical, doesn't mean anything, but it just sounds cool, right?
That's not on. But why can't he just say that's off?
Oh, that's unacceptable, right? Yeah, he just said that's not on. Yeah.
That's not on. I mean,
Cool. It's like it's the diplomatic way of saying that's not cool.
Not cool.
Yeah. But you can't say that's not cool, you know.
But I mean, in politics, they tend to never want to say something so negatively.
Mm.
They would say not untrue.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's kind of like, okay, that's not on. Wow.
Yeah, that's
new
not
thing
on.
For your dinner conversation coming up. But yeah, it was interesting how fast they reacted because literally, I mean, the post, like, you probably can find screenshots, but what it said was that Israel is mentioned 43 times in the Quran. On the other hand, Palestine is not mentioned even once.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every archaeological evidence, maps, documents, coins link the land of Israel to the Jewish people as the indigenous people of the land. And then there were some hashtags, I think, stand with Israel and stuff like that.
Mm.
So Shanmugam kind of like came out and said, yeah, that's unacceptable for a bunch of reasons. He said he was very upset. It is insensitive and inappropriate. And like pointed out that, you know, they look after the safety of everyone in Singapore, majority and minorities, including Jews and Muslims. Then he also talked about how they are trying to rewrite history.
Mm.
And he did say, you know, like if you go back and check whether Israel even like complied with the international law, is not true lah. But he pointed out that's not why they kind of took issue with it.
Yeah.
It was more that what was the third one? There were three reasons.
I thought it's because it deals with the religious text.
Because
it would endanger even the Jewish minority in Singapore, like, inflict tensions and all.
Yeah, correct. And he said it is wrong to selectively point to the religious text to make a political point. Yeah. Even worse, in this current situation, for the Israeli embassy to make use of the Quran for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, why it's interesting? Because when Shanmugam came on our podcast in December or November?
December.
We pointed out that there were already people flagging certain posts by the Israeli embassy in Singapore that were being seen as like, hey, can they actually do this?
Yeah.
Right? And I remember we both saw some posts where the captions were quite like, that's like scary captions. Mm. And his point there, which is consistent with what he said here, is that they are embassies of sovereign countries and they have their own autonomy. And unless it really impacts the safety of Singaporeans or communities in Singapore, they won't step in. So, I mean, interesting that, you know, like now they are stepping in because that post, like, I know we were talking about it yesterday, but the post also at first, in my mind, I had not seen the post.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, oh, how different can it be? And you were very clear about why it's different.
Yeah. Because I think interesting to note is how it's MHA and MFA stepping in.
Yeah.
MHA being Ministry of Home Affairs means they deal with terrorism, domestic issues, right?
Yeah.
MFA deals with foreign countries. But the both of them had to step in this case because the post comes from, you know, Israel embassy, but it's citing or saying something about religious text that is part of one of the major religions here in Singapore, right?
Mm.
So that becomes a domestic issue. So, Vivian and Shanmugam working hand in hand again today.
So Rideout was busy, man.
Probably a lot of messages being passed along Rideout Road.
No need messages. Shanmugam probably opened his window. Yo!
I think too far away. It's
too far.
Very big property.
Fucking fire.
Messenger.
HDB neighbors, different. You know, you can look into each other's house and all. Rideout neighbors. Correct. Very different.
You're thinking if you're public housing mindset.
Need messengers. Need messengers. Correct.
Yeah, maybe pigeons. Pigeons,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, interesting that, they both had to come out and give very strong statements about it. Mm. I guess, when the religious text is invoked or talked about in this way, it has the potential to, you know, make people really upset, right?
Yeah.
And I think Shanmugam is right to point out that there is also a very Jewish minority living in Singapore.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to bear the brunt of like anger, right, about these kind of things that, that the official embassy decides to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, between when you watch the interviews with Shanmugam and Vivian, like, what was the feeling? What's the visceral reaction you're feeling to the anger or to the not honest about
not
everything?
Not honest. No, I mean, I think I was actually very heartened by Shanmugam's stance on it.
Yeah.
And even his delivery.
Mm.
If you were not the most familiar with politics in Singapore and all that, and I think you look at that from a minister, it's very convincing that they are taking a hard stance.
Yep.
In fact, I felt Vivian Balakrishnan was more diplomatic, but ultimately, for him, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, it is more about diplomacy, right?
Yeah.
Whereas for Shanmugam, you tell he's not taking any nonsense, and I'm very happy that they were very swift, and I actually felt like, wow, proud that this is the statement that our government is taking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because back in December itself, we already felt like the posts were kind of like borderline, right?
Mm.
Even now, when you go and look at their Instagram, there's a lot of fury, understandably so.
Mm.
But it does feel like, wow, this is some scary stuff.
Yeah.
So I felt that watching Shanmugam. You?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Shanmugam literally said it's completely unacceptable and wrong at many levels.
Yeah.
Whereas Vivian Balakrishnan said, that's not on.
That's not on. That's not.
So yeah, one is a bit more diplomatic about it, like you mentioned. The other one is like outright, it's like, it's not acceptable, right?
Yeah.
And I did feel that this is, people ask, what can our leaders in Singapore be doing about the conflict at all?
Mm.
And, you know, I know people are tired of hearing that it's very complex and all, but the truth is, Singapore doesn't have a huge say in everything, right?
Mm.
In this whole conflict and how it moves. And I think even Shanmugam himself was very honest and very clear about that when he was here, right?
Yeah.
Talking about it, that honestly, what can Singapore really, really do to move the needle? Not much. But if something happens on our shores that threatens to inflame tensions or just cause more anger in the community, I think having a very strong action like this sends a very good signal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, of course, don't want to bring it back to Taylor Swift again, but in light of what people are hearing and seeing about Singapore in the last month, I think this one is, unpleasant situation that, okay, hopefully we can turn around and really point out that Singapore is a place that observes rule and of the law and things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the biggest difference from the post that we highlighted in December was, it is more about their own perspective on things, that it almost doesn't refer or incite stuff within Singapore's community. He will pay, they will pay and stuff like that. Whereas this one, there is a large Muslim community in Singapore.
Yeah.
There's a Jewish community in Singapore. So, sowing the seeds of tension. And interesting enough, Vivian Balakrishnan himself just came back from a trip to the Middle East where he met Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And even if you read the reports of that, I mean, quite good that he made it very clear that as a country, we do feel that Israel's actions have gone too far.
Gone too far.
And I don't know, I mean, whenever there's these diplomatic meetings, all they show is a picture of two people staring at each other.
Yeah.
We don't know how it was said.
Yeah.
But it feels consistent with the stance that Singapore has always taken. And there is a lot of talk, even we are Shanmugam ourselves, about Singapore's history with Israel. But so far, I think I'm quite heartened by our stance. We have this relationship, we can't run away from it.
Yeah.
But where we can call out, we call out. Don't know what happens outside of public eye, but at least in the public eye, I think this is being managed quite well.
And a little nugget also.
Yeah.
That same trip, Vivian has, he brought along WP MP, Gerald Giam.
Yeah.
And I think someone asked him about it during the same doorstop interview, and he said that he invited Gerald Giam to show that Singaporeans are united in face of global issues like this. To show that even an opposition MP can come along and show and be part of the Singapore message, which I thought was like, wow, that's pretty, in light of everything going on everywhere else in politics, right?
Yeah.
It's quite a power move, right? And it's what a leader does, right? You know, in terms of like, okay, you can have your squabbles internally and all that, but when you go out to the world, you got to show like unity and one force, right?
But hopefully, like, it's true, like lunch, you know, right? Yeah. Gerald Gam sitting by himself.
I know. Yeah, people were, some people online were likening it to the BMT boy at the canteen. You know, there's an image from years ago of one BMT recruit eating with his parents in the canteen on the first day of BMT. And his face is like, And then there's a picture of Gerald Gam also sitting at the table with Vivian and others. And also, I mean, not that sien, but he's actually even looking the same angle and direction and all that.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if like they got like inside jokes and stuff like that? I mean, like, I think I didn't know how common it was. That means it sounds like it's not the most common, right? That, when there's an opposition member joining a Singapore delegation.
Actually, what I've been understanding is that they do, you know, they do like at least have one opposition MP go for international study trips or whatever together on. So it's, and but the person is like a minority in some sense.
Yeah.
So maybe you're like you said, very lonely. Or
like they make a joke like, oh, yeah, you know, you had to be there.
Yeah.
You know, you might not get it. But yeah, I mean, it does paint a nice picture. Another thing is that the Israeli embassy has released a statement, or at least a spokesperson has replied that the post had gone up without the necessary approvals. And that the person responsible has already been harshly punished and will face internal disciplinary measures. I mean, there's no way of verifying how true that is.
True.
But it just feels like, I hope they take this to heart. Because if you look at the posts that even December when we pointed it out and other people online are pointing out, it feels like similar kind of narratives. So that's where it feels like, because they also said due to security reasons, they were unable to divulge the name or role of the person.
I mean, you know, when I hear that it's the Israeli embassy saying that someone will be harshly punished.
Yeah,
I didn't. I was also like, okay. I mean, okay, let's just make sure that it's like, you know, stuff that you know, like it's all kosher stuff, right? So to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, correct. Right? The Israeli harsh punishment.
Yeah.
Probably different from regular harsh punishment.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, okay. If it's something about losing a job, but nothing more than that.
And it's good that they came out and they were very forthcoming with admitting that it's not the best post and that they respect religion and racial harmony in Singapore.
Yeah.
In this case, I mean, even when I look online, because this has appeared on articles and news outlets around the world, but also on Reddit, subreddits from around the world.
Yeah.
But generally, there isn't anyone saying that, oh, this is wrong, that the minister or ministry clamped down.
Yeah. No, in fact, in fact, all the coverage, I think, is like, let's say I'm looking at, Time magazine, right? The title is Singapore Orders Israeli Embassy to Delete Inappropriate Social Posts About Palestine, right?
Yeah.
So generally quite neutral. Doesn't have that feel like typical, Singapore controls messaging and all that.
But I mean, that's why it's curious how Israel embassies around the world operate. Because Singapore, I mean, you know, Singapore is known for not having free speech and all. But I mean, this is an example of how true free speech is also not the best, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine in a country like, say, the US or the UK, I can't imagine the government telling an embassy or something to take a post down. Right. I think Singapore is set up that way, which is good and bad, but in this case, I think it is a good thing. But it was funny that on the Reddit Singapore, the post that had these articles all had their comment sections locked.
Locked. Okay.
Yeah. Which Why? Was a bit, I don't know. So some people in the other more, non kosher kind of Reddit threads, they all pointed out that, are the moderators of Reddit Singapore trying to stop this from descending into a cesspool of shit.
Possibly.
Yeah, but I mean, locking comments, don't know, it just feels very un-Reddit.
I don't know how much you use Reddit, right? I'm still not a super power user or that. But my understanding is that moderators are generally trusted to moderate the community a lot more than any other social media platform. So even if there's a whiff of like people starting to sound like incels or say something nasty, you lock it. It's completely within your acceptable realms for you to do it. People can complain, but you know, unless you're the moderator, you can't really, there's not much you can do. And it's a lot of times what the moderator needs to do is to explain why they're locking certain posts. I'm not sure if that came up in the subreddit there, but no, sometimes it's just to prevent stuff devolving into like, you know, incel discussions and stuff like that, or really inappropriate doxing.
It's not like YouTube when a celebrity locks their comment, you know, you fucked up.
Or even it's like sometimes like you complain about a comment or something that is harassing and all that, and it's obviously like a personal attack on it, the algorithm doesn't do shit, right? YouTube doesn't do shit. They rather focus on keeping, you know, the platform like free of any kind of self-censorship than on like, you know, potential harm it could cause people. Debatable the how powerful it is, but if anything, I would say is that social media doesn't do enough, right, to limit this kind of speech. But one thing you say also is that that echoes what Vivian Balakrishnan says, that in Singapore we do things differently, and he said that the way we deal with multiracial issues is a net positive, right? If anything, compared to a lot of other places. What do you think of that statement?
I mean, agree that we do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, if you look at other countries around the world, I also agree that net there's a positive. You can disagree with the more specifics, but overall, I think our racial harmony is very uncommon. It's very uncommon. Because even over the weekend, I went for a long walk with my wife, and we stopped by at the Laguna Food Village at East Coast Park. And you sit there, which, I mean, can be the same of any hawker center. But you just look, it's all nationalities, races, shapes, sizes, socioeconomic tiers to a certain extent also. You look at it, you're like, wow, shit. Everything you read in the news about how it's going in other countries, this really is an anomaly. And then I stood up and said the pledge.
And you felt hardcore Singaporean.
Hardcore Singaporean, But when you heard that statement from Vivian B.
We do it differently. I think he's right. Can't outright say we do it better. But the fact, I can walk into a temple or, you know, a Hindu temple even. I can walk into a church, and then I can walk to a lot of even places of worship and all that, and never feel completely out of place or unwelcome or anything like that. And I think that's even more telling to me than racial differences and all that, right? Because religious differences, I think that's where people can get really upset about things. But the fact that we're all open to different types of people and all, it just says a lot more, right? I mean, I have my own thoughts about religion and its role in society and everything, but the point is that, you know, as things are now, there's very few places in the world that can, where you can do what we do in Singapore,
And I mean, you don't feel like your life is under threat, right? Even if they're not welcoming for whatever reason, you never feel like your life is under threat. Which is really oh shit, there's some good, So I mean, this is a positive. Positive, discussion. You know, some Singapore pride there.
Man. And so, kudos to Shanmugam and Vivian Balakrishnan flying the Singapore flag proud in this quite difficult issue and circumstance. A lot of, I think there's a UN resolution on ceasefire that Israel is rejecting and
the US
cancelling a mission to the US or something like that. So a lot of unpleasant diplomatic things going on between Israel and the rest of the world, right?
So tough Singapore.
I mean, that's, you know, externally, Singapore is putting up this very good front. Not saying that internally everything is nice and dandy, right? We got another big, what do you call it? Hoo-ha about a very familiar face now to everyone. That just also happened over the weekend. But this one, I think, is less debatable, but it's just interesting, And what is this?
But it's funny, right? On one hand, you know, amongst the more senior ministers or ex-ministers of PAP.
Yeah.
You know, like you get Vivian Balakrishnan, Shanmugam, and like just in terms of like, you know, the Indian ministers and all, there's like the third person we're going to be talking about, right? But how far things have fallen.
Yeah.
Because it was also yesterday, 25th March, when ex-minister S. Iswaran, former Singapore Transport Minister, appeared in the state court and has been slapped with 8 new charges in addition to the 27 that he got last year, which brings it to 35 lah.
Yep.
He got charged last year or earlier this year?
Earlier this year. January.
So a total of 35. The 8 new charges are all kind of similar to the ones to some that he got previously, which is under the section 165 of the Penal Code, which makes it an offence for public servants to obtain valuable items from someone involved with them in an official capacity. And that is the Penal Code where it doesn't matter the motivation, right? Just accepting it is an offence.
Yeah.
Whereas as for the previous 27, 24 were under the same. One was under obstruction of justice, and one was two under the PCA, right?
Yeah.
Prevention of Corruptions Act. Yeah. So in this case, like it's still a developing case. Feels like it was somewhat unexpected.
Yeah.
Because there were no new interviews of Iswaran by CPIB. These were all based off interviews that he did last year. And even when he got charged earlier this year for the 27 charges, there were 8 that were not taken up.
Yeah.
So now there were 9.
Yeah.
There were 9.
Not, they did not proceed with the charges.
They did not proceed. Yeah. But then suddenly you got these 8 lah.
Yeah. And a completely different person giving it to him, right?
Yeah.
No longer Ong Beng Seng.
Similar kind of items.
I mean, that's why it's worth looking at.
Okay. So that's the summary of the legalities. But what about the items, Terrence?
I mean, but before going to items, I think when I came across this thing, the first thing it popped out on YouTube, right? Iswaran going to court. And I don't know, the whole thing of him, how he attended court was something to behold, I would say.
Why?
I don't know if you watched it.
I watched it.
If you watch, the vehicle arrives and then his team of lawyers all get out. Then they sort of stand in one line, you know, like Avengers waiting for Captain America to come forward. Then Iswaran comes out the other side of the vehicle and then he joins them like in one row. Then they start walking down the state courts together. And I think Iswaran was like, generally he looked like quite friendly, right? Good morning, thank you all for coming down.
Is it sorry for making you all get up
sorry
early?
Sorry, you all get up too early. Yeah. Similar to how Pritam was like, why do you think I come to state courts kind of feel, right? But they just walk down like the Backstreet Boys, you know, walking down like a music video kind of thing, So and he wasn't flanked by Davinder Singh, the big man himself, he was flanked by all these lawyers. Then another funny thing happened, like another reporter also tripped on the steps of the of the state courts. Similar to how it happened when Pritam was walking also. But this one, the Iswaran one up Pritam lah. The reporter dropped his phone and Iswaran even picked up the phone for him,
And he told him, take care, take care.
So I'm like,
very nice demeanor, nice demeanor.
It seems like two things, one, whoever's in charge of safety and all that in state courts needs to look at those steps, right? Everyone seems to be tripping over it. I think it's a URA thing, maybe it's a URA thing. But the other thing is also it seems like helping falling reporters is like the new kissing babies for politicians. Like, to make yourself look better, you help a fallen reporter.
Fallen reporter. Correct. And I mean, it just felt uncanny, because... So, I mean, it doesn't feel like it was staged, even though some people are, speculating.
Yeah.
A very different kind of vibe from when Pritam appeared. You know, he came out of a car himself.
Yeah.
And you were saying, he looked a bit like tired or worn out. Sure. And he came. Whereas this one is like, they're all in sync. And then, everyone else is in black. Iswaran is in blue. And then when it comes to the items he got was like a golf driver.
Yep.
2 bottles of whiskey. A set of golf clubs.
Yeah.
A Brompton T-line bicycle.
Yeah.
2 bottles of M&H whiskey. And another golf item and 2 golf chippers, which total up to about... $19,000 lah.
Yep.
And specifically, it's no longer Ong Beng Seng who is the other half. It is Mr. Lam Kok Sing, the managing director of Lam Chang Holdings, which is a construction company.
Yeah.
So, like from this also, it was announced that Ong Beng Seng has not been charged.
Yeah.
Right. So
not
it is,
yet, lah. Right. Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
It's still pending.
I think the same for this Lam Kok Sing also. They said that they will conclude Iswaran's case before moving on with anything from Lam Kok Sing.
So Ong Beng Seng just hasn't, as in the verdict is not out.
No, as in they have not moved forward the charge. But the fact that he was pulled in for questioning, maybe they might be negotiating something or what, you know, based on how much information he's providing and everything.
So it is after the case. I thought he was acquitted already. He might do that. So the interesting thing about this case is that the person who allegedly gave these things, Mr. Lam, he is MD of Lam Chang Holdings. And Lam Chang Holdings received a contract that was awarded to them in 2016 of 325 million for addition and alteration works to Tanah Merah MRT and the existing viaducts. So a bunch of new things that are only going to be completed in 2026. So because of that association, there's a bit more, you know, with Ong Beng Seng, it was F1.
Yeah.
So this one, if you like, I think people are alluding, does this have to do with the contract? And some people are saying the contract was awarded before these things happened.
Yeah, correct.
Right, because these things happened all between 21 and 22.
Before Iswaran even became Minister of Transport.
Before, actually.
So it's a huge contract. It's like 300 over million and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all happened. The awarding and all that happened before Iswaran.
I mean, LCBC, which is the Lam Chang Building Contractors, which is a subsidiary of Lam Chang Holdings, has another ongoing project, which is the construction of the North-South Corridor Tunnel between Ang Mo Kio, Avenue 3 and 9. And that is worth 799 million.
Whew. Okay.
And when you go to their website, they have a fuck ton of projects. So I think, they're doing pretty well.
It's a public company. That's Lam Chang Holdings.
That's
huge,
public
company, yeah.
Holy shit.
So it's not like some fly-by-night small contractor. It's big company. So I think even they said that they will, you know, they only provide a statement after more information comes and all that, right?
Yeah. But the funny thing is, you know, as big as they are, you know, they are building all the stuff. Seems like the only profile photo that Straits Times would get of Mr. Lam is some grainy-ass pixelated shit.
Only from the website.
So, I mean, it's one of those companies that you might never heard of, but they are super big.
Keep low profile.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, government contracts that for these kind of upgrading works.
Huge, right?
You know, hundreds of millions.
But I mean, with all this unfolding, right? Mm-hmm. Like any thoughts, Terrence?
I mean, is this still very early, right? And I think people again online have been asking that same question, like $19,000 in total for these things. It's peanuts. It's like he earns that easily in a month, right?
Mm.
Why would anyone risk throwing away their career for, you know, something that honestly is not worth that much? But again, I think like you mentioned, we allude to the fact that it's not about the amount or what the other party gets in exchange, but it's the fact that his job as it is, his job description and his job scope, everything, does not allow him to receive these gifts from people that are interested parties in transactions with the Singapore government. And that's the crux of the issue, right?
Mm.
That I mean, even if you say that he can easily afford this himself, the point is he knows that he should know that he's not supposed to do it.
Exactly. And especially when you are in such a role as a minister, you need to be extra cautious. Right? Extra cautious, which is why it feels like, could this be like a, I mean, just, it could it, is it just Iswaran who's been doing this?
Mm.
Or is this kind of like a message that's being sent out or a sign of things to come?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, it feels weird that it's just one person who tripped up. It's like, you know, whenever you see these scandals hit, sometimes it's the first thing that breaks the news, but then after that, it uncovers a lot more. That other people are guilty. But, I mean, it's surprising that more charges came. And same thing, he said, I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty at all.
But I would say that these charges to me, as much as they are similar charges based on Section 165, which is public servant cannot receive gifts. These to me are really speak to, they sound much more like gifts than even the F1
Why,
ones that I felt. Because I mean at the end of the day, which some people online were saying about F1 stuff, is that if you are the person who brought in F1 or you are the person instrumental to, you know, making sure that your contract came up again, it's kind of you kind of need to understand what the product is, right? You kind of need to attend F1. You need to understand, oh, this is why F1 is awesome. Mm. This is why businesses want to pay for it. And this is why we need to, oh, this is why a business would want to come and buy a green room and, you know, entertain guests. If you never experienced it yourself, can you be the best person to negotiate a place for it? It's like for us, right? When we tell people the best way to, you know, understand what a folklore means is to actually record one yourself, right? Mm. We talked about that a lot, right?
Mm.
Not that we pay people to do that. I think it's more that you really had experienced it to understand what the product is. So in some ways, you could argue that some of the things related to the F1 are parts of being the person in charge. You have to experience it. And monetarily, does it lead to a lot more gains for you? Mm. You know, like,
or Singapore, Singapore.
Yeah. If I like, you know, remember my on my wedding night, I had like a hotel room for me and my wife, obviously. Yeah. And I also had a hotel room for all the brothers, in charge.
Yeah.
You were one of the brothers, But you were the only one that took up the offer.
Yeah.
In the hotel. I don't know how happening that hotel room was that night, right?
I mean, I wish I was there with someone. But at that time, I was like single as fuck.
Yeah.
So I just went to sleep.
So my point here is, even if I give you a hotel room, does it mean that there's a party going on in the hotel room? No lah.
In fact, it made me sad. It made me sad. Because sitting there, I was like, this beautiful room. I went to eat breakfast alone. And I was like, fuck man, here is like this guy getting married to the love of his life and I'm just alone.
Yeah, beautiful hotel room alone.
Beautiful.
So my point here is like, I can provide you a green room at F1. Does it mean that, you know, you have the most awesome time of your life or what? Not necessarily, right?
But then what about the other gifts? You also got musical tickets and football. That's nothing to do with F1.
Correct.
Yeah.
But also, I would argue, like if I was in the position, that part of the F1 experience is understanding how international standards of entertainment are.
Mm.
You know, understanding what it means to go to a place like London and experience Broadway, even the nosebleed seats. There's an experience about it. I've watched nosebleed. I bought the nosebleed tickets, which are the cheapest tickets that you line up at like 8 a.m. in the morning to get to watch like Phantom of the Opera. And it's really at the top of the thing and the view is like shit. But the whole thing is just an experience, right?
Mm.
And it's all part of like a global city, the entertainment options and all that, right?
Yeah.
You could argue that there's an element of like, hey, you know, let's go and watch these musicals and understand what it means to entertain people, to bring them on an experience. So F1 is not just about you have the race, you have a green room and that's it. It's got to have all the things around it. You know, back then there was an F1 Rocks concert. Now there's always a concert every year, right?
Mm.
There's a lot of fringe activities and events going on. It's just part of the, I could even argue that it's part of the research, right?
Yeah.
Of understanding what it means to have like, theater performances, sporting events and what next to an F1 happening. You could conceivably say that was Iswaran maybe doing research or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in research.
So, so a little surprise to you, I think the same might apply in this case as well for the lawyers. You know why?
Why?
Because...
The lawyers.
I mean, the argument you're saying, right? You know, he had to experience what entertainment is to think about F1 holistically,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, LCBC, which is Lam Cheng Building Contractors, they have a project with LTA about the construction of a North-South Corridor Tunnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, an eagle-eyed Redditor pointed out that in 2023, there was a video that S. Iswaran posted on his Facebook page with the hashtag Come Ride With Us, where he was exploring the cycling paths in the west of Singapore and how you can head to One North via the rail corridor.
Mm.
Another corridor. Mm.
Correct.
You know, and in that video, he was on a bicycle.
Aha.
And guess what the bicycle is?
It was a Brompton.
It was the Brompton.
The Brompton. Wow.
The amazing Brompton. And apparently, the Redditor also pointed out that is a Brompton T-line.
Ah.
And this was 2023, Terrence.
Wow.
Yeah. So if they have this contract that is still being built, Isurin was doing, maybe he's a man of research.
Yeah. He needs to taste. Yeah. He needs to taste what he's going to serve. He's like, you know, like when we say sometimes, how can the chef not taste his food first, then exactly. serve it? That's what Isurin is doing.
And what is Tanah Merah famous for having around the station? Golf courses.
Ah, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, golf clubs. That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's just a man of research, Jared. Yeah, yeah, he needs to really feel the ground.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So maybe that's his thing.
Possible, possible.
That's his thing.
You know, the interesting thing is, obviously here, the Brompton bicycle is the most expensive thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you look up the Brompton bicycle a little bit?
No, I know a Brompton.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Bromptons have been traditionally in Singapore. It was last time, it was a case, all right, of procurement of Bromptons for a government agency. That
was
got,
it?
Yeah, yeah, they got the supplier in trouble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Back then, I can't remember if it was NEA or something like that, but someone procured Brompton bicycles and ended up getting in trouble, right?
Oh.
So Brompton and corruption in Singapore kind of have a lot of links, right? This one's the next chapter in it.
Oh, next chapter.
And the interesting, the next chapter is that it involves Brompton T-line bicycles, and the T stands for titanium, which is like, apparently this bicycle was released like early 2022, and true to its price, it was a 4,180-pound bicycle that was very coveted because it's made of titanium.
Yeah,
super light. You watch the video, super easy to fold. You know, there are all these men in spandex all like swarming over it, and like, wow, it's so awesome and all that. So my understanding is that it's very, very coveted. And like, it was not available in a lot of quantities except in official Brompton stores, one of which was Singapore.
Yeah. I mean, even Singapore is a showroom. I don't think you can...
Brompton Junction. Yeah.
Brompton Junction.
That's
right?
What it's called. Yeah. Yeah. At Funan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's a very coveted bicycle. You watch even the pedal, right? The pedal is like a quick release system. You know, usually folding bicycle, the pedal, you just fold and then it still sticks out a bit. So it's like, you just press one button, pull it out, and cut quick release, then click it somewhere so that it's really streamlined. Then you can really pull it into the MRT, and that's what Isurin needed to find out, how easy it is to do.
How easy it is, you know, like to go from North-South Rail to take the train, you know, come out, to your golf course.
Yeah. You know, maybe what we're doing here is we're already writing the lawyer's defense for all this already. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's that. And yeah, the golf clubs, right?
Even though golf courses now in Singapore by 2020-something, they're all going to be phased out, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But back then, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So yeah, the golf clubs are all also very high-end ones, right? Like the Honma one was like, apparently, Honma was, for decades, the Honma story has been set in the foothills of Sakata, Japan. So, Japanese, made in Japan one, I think, this Honma clubs. I don't know anything about golf clubs, so I might sound like an idiot, but apparently very good. The Scotty Cameron Phantom, alignment by design, you know, and then a lot of carbon fiber and, inspiration at every angle, so it says. But yeah, you know, that's the golf clubs, again, which... That's where I start to find out, okay, very tenuous link between saying that you're doing research and what your portfolio is, right?
Yeah, it's tenuous. Like, in case anyone's listening thinking it's two deluded idiots.
This is comedy, folks. It's comedy. Yeah.
It's comedy, okay? Yeah. We're just trying our best to grasp at the straws.
Yeah. But the alcohol, how do you justify the alcohol? You can't.
I mean, right. You know how some people say their creativity is unlocked when they have alcohol?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe it's like, I can't think straight. I need to have whiskey with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me to experience and do my research, I need to be opened up. Because, you know, being a minister is very stressful.
Yeah.
I just need to unleash. That's when I do my best thinking.
Correct, yeah. But the thing is that the alcohol here is not like the, the gangbusters expensive. We're talking about couple hundred dollars a bottle kind, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as an example, I think the most expensive wine was the Albert Bichot Domaine du Clos Franquin. You know, apparently from an estate, a beautiful 18th century estate in the Nuit Saint-Georges at the heart of Côte de Nuit in France, right?
Mm.
So very, very high-end stuff that we're talking about. So I'm saying like $300 a bottle maybe.
Yeah.
The Gordon and MacPhail Cow Ilya whiskey, also about $270 a bottle.
Yeah.
But wow, this Iswaran is a man of like pretty good taste, lah, right? You gotta say.
In the sense what, like, he doesn't only just go for like the super expensive ones. Because you get bottles of wine that can go up to like $15,000-$30,000, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times those bottles are, you know, usually people only have one bottle or something. This one is like, wow, he's got a lot of bottles, multiple bottles of these like $100-$200 plus wine, nut, right?
Yeah.
You know, you look at the timeline, November 2021, 4 bottles of whiskey. And then in January, they have to top up now 2 bottles. So, over December 2021, there was a lot of drinking going on. Four bottles of whiskey wiped out. And in May, again, another 2 bottles of the same whiskey. So, you know, he likes this Gordon and MacPhail whiskey.
Oh, yeah. January, there was 2. Then May, another 2.
Yeah. Correct.
Oh, so what? That's his thing, huh? Gordon and MacPhail.
Yeah, Gordon and MacPhail. I mean, are you a whiskey person?
No, I'm not.
I'm not either. So I would wish someone in our Reddit or something knows about these whiskeys and what's so special about them. Like,
yeah, correct.
That Iswaran loves them so much. But yeah, it's a lot of a lot of interesting details that come out about the things that Iswaran likes. You know, we know that he loves musicals.
Mm.
We know he loves golf.
Football,
biking, wine, whiskey, all the high end stuff.
Like, feels like we're getting to know him.
Really? This is how you get to know someone, right? This is like a dating profile almost.
Exactly. It's like the mystery of Iswaran. Then I saw something someone pointed out. Maybe his love language is gifting, lah.
True.
Some people got quality time. Some people got words of affirmation. Iswaran is gifting, lah. That's how he deals with love. Fucking, it's hilarious, man.
Yeah. But you're right. You know, you're actually right about the Brompton bicycle. That it could be. You could even argue that it's part of research. Because, you know, MRT has like these limitations on how big luggage you can bring in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I need to get what's a foldable that I can fit into the MRT.
You also do research for the corridor.
Yeah. He's like, you think I want to bring this home? You think I want to bring this 4,000-pound bicycle home?
I mean, because also when he goes on the bicycle trip, he's wearing a polo t-shirt and pants, la, so not the most bicycle. And next to him is Bayam King, who is full spandex.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Full spandex.
I'm not surprised.
So you can already tell, like, okay, one of them cycles a lot, one of them doesn't. La.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. Wow. Yeah. Funny, yeah.
Bayam King does strike me as a spandex bro.
Yeah, it's total spandex bro.
Yeah.
Now the case, the penalties for what he's being charged are quite severe. And also you can't help just notice how, like with Pritam last week, Iswaran this week, it almost feels like scandals now in Singapore, right? We always come in twos.
Yeah.
If you see something break, chances are that it's going to be... Rideout didn't have.
Got twos, but from the same party.
Twos, correct. Yeah. Got twos. Maybe the after the streak. Fucking populists and Rideout, they're like, you know what? Fuck, man. We need to think of a new plan. Like, you have to be pair everything. Everything in pairs, okay? The yin and yang.
Yeah.
Yin and yang. But going to be an interesting next few months, lah.
Yeah, it is.
Interesting next few months.
The question to ask is, of all these items that Iswaran seemed to have obtained from Lam Kok Sing and all that, like, if you were a public servant and you know, you would risk your career for these items, lah, which item would you risk it for?
I think if, assuming that I'm a fan of like alcohol and all, probably like the alcohol, because that's the one thing where you can drink and then like there's no more trace. Like.
Yeah.
Everything else is very tangible, you know?
Yeah.
Like 20 years down the road, this bike, people will just say, hey, this is the one you got from Lam Cheng, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the whiskey, you just down it. Like.
Yeah. I also think so. Yeah. To me, I wouldn't go for the bikes or the golf clubs. Yeah. Too easy. For someone to spot you using it and then like, hey, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Whereas, alcohol, whiskey is whiskey. You know, you maybe unmarked bottle or something you keep at home.
Put a Coca-Cola bottle or something.
Peel out, replace the package. They can't call you out. They can't, right? Unless you like get some connoisseur on board to do a taste test. But you don't know. You wouldn't know.
Because now bicycle, already people pointed out his 2023 video, Come Ride With Us, is a Brompton.
Then Brompton, like, what? How should Brompton react to this? Like, is it like, positive or negative press, or what do you think?
I think the best thing is,
I mean, I never knew about this titanium line ever. Not that I could afford it, but like, oh wow, I'm like, okay, it's a thing, right?
I mean, I don't know, because I know Brompton is a brand that, like, I won't deny I get annoyed by it.
Okay.
Especially how people get, oh, the Brompton bros. I have one friend who set up an Instagram profile for him and his Brompton bro friends.
Oh, man.
Then I'm like, oh my God. It's like the new midlife crisis.
You're not going to dox it like, by naming
it. Oh, I won't dox it.
It is like it is, yeah. I think we've alluded to it, like, when I went for that, car-free day.
Yeah,
there were a lot of Brompton. I don't even say bros, I say uncles. Brompton uncles.
Like, there are very few things where I would be that willing to pay a premium just based on the assurance of quality. I think, like, phone and laptop, I think that one, okay, I sold my soul to Apple.
Correct.
I know you pay, you get, but anything other, like, attire and all, like, sometimes I see some brands that charge, like, $150 for a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, you know what? I'm totally fine paying like a fraction of that for like a $20 pair of shorts, because I don't think the quality is that different. Like.
Yeah.
Even earphones, personal earphones and all. Yeah, like, I always feel you have the market leader that charges a shit ton, but a lot of the money you're paying there is just for the brand. Like. And Brompton to me is like a brand like that. Like.
But have you actually used the Brompton?
Yeah, I used that one friend who set up Instagram. Cool. I went to his house and he was like, hey bro, you got to try my Brompton. I tried it. I'm like, get on the bike. Like. Then he was kind of, he was showing me like, wow, how to do it, and like,
this is a bicycle, this is a wheel, and this is a pedal you turn.
No, how to collapse it and all. Yeah. But he was very aware that he is buying into the whole Brompton kind of thing, like, and didn't shy away from it, which is what I appreciate.
Yeah.
If people who don't acknowledge that, yo, part of this Brompton is just the branding.
Yeah.
And okay, you get a certain level of quality, but is it really worth that much? Like?
Yeah.
So I tried it. Like. You have affordable bike,
I have affordable,
right?
Yeah. So contrary...
And it's not a Brompton. Like.
Yeah. Contrary to what people might think, I'm actually very big on cycling. And I like cycling. And I have a Dahon affordable bike. And Dahon is already not, say, the cheapest already, right? But I felt like, okay, it's quite good. It's a brand and, you know, it's got history and the affordable bikes are nicely designed and all. Mm. I enjoy it a lot, like, but... Yeah, it's definitely not as convenient as a Brompton, from just watching how people, like, the wheels just, like, sort of flip up when you pull up a Brompton. It's quite a feat of engineering, I suppose, to be able to do that. Whereas Dahon is really, like, you just fold it, and then it's very thick after that. And if you ask me to push that to MRT, I'm like, nah, fuck it, like, you know, I'm not going to bother. But, I do, when I see Brompton bros, I also, like, how can you pay, like, that much more for a foldable bike, right?
Mm.
No matter how much lighter it is on that. Because I sit on my Dahon, you sit on your thing, we both look like overweight uncles on a tiny little bicycle, right?
With your feet going very fast.
Very fast, the wheel so small. You look like a fucking, like a chihuahua walking at it. So I'm like, it's not that much difference. Unless, I mean, even if you're like a serious biker, you wouldn't be riding a Brompton and all. Like, a serious like race biker, you wouldn't be riding a Brompton, right?
Yeah.
So that to me is like, Brompton is just like mostly a flex.
It's a flex. It is a flex. But a lot of people like to flex.
Yeah. So I think the Carl Ila whiskey is what we would go for, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I mean, he has the three bottles of wine worth 1,100. So like per bottle, that is probably that's probably the most expensive alcohol.
Which one?
Albert Bichot.
Yeah. Domaine Duclos. Yeah.
300.
Albert Bichot, Domaine Duclos, Frantin Grand Echejo, Grand Cru. I learned French. I can barely even pronounce this myself.
Oh, I love
it. But yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Oh, it's Warren. We'll see how that case unfolds. Interesting. Yeah. Going to be an interesting few months.
It will be.
With the election always looming as well.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yes. What is your one short comment?
It's
our favorite.
Let me pull it up.
Yeah.
Do you have yours?
Just basically on Reddit, which is, you know, we have a huge, very vibrant community on Reddit that are very excited to talk about these days. But my internet is not working very well or letting me load it very easily.
Mm.
Let me see on my computer. Yes. Basically, my Reddit is really not loading, man. Is yours loading?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you have yours?
Yeah, mine is a post by Original Goat One, who's a long-time commenter, kind of asked us, would we consider a Yalabat guest, which is the Penny Farthing Rider, Rembrandt Strugic.
Yeah.
they did point out that, you know, after accusing Rembrandt Strugic of being a colonial cyclist, I mean, we were just joking, la. Which was on the podcast about the car free, right? We were saying that, you know, he was decked out and all. But turns out that, yeah, he made the news. There are a few profiles written on him. I'm looking at the one on Yahoo News. Basically, yeah, like... he wanted to raise awareness of cycling. He's a Dutch guy. Interesting. Like, seems like a really nice guy. Like, he did reflect, he did admit that there are challenges. He doesn't dare go on the streets of Singapore because there are too many cars. It's too dangerous. He's just a cycling enthusiast. His journey began in London. He relocated to Singapore last September. It's just something he liked to do.
I think it's interesting. I think we're just kidding about the whole colonial thing. So don't think too seriously, guys.
So apparently, is the bicycle itself 145 years old?
Yes, yes. Oh, so if you read up the thing, it's very interesting that even getting it shipped to Singapore was a challenge, and he had to go through KL, I believe. I'm not sure if he rode the penny farthing from KL to Singapore. That would be fucking epic, if he went to the causeway.
Also, he was a former bicycle mechanic.
Yes.
So, I mean, cool.
Yeah.
So well done, Rembrandt Strugic.
Sure.
Cool, yeah.
Cool. My one-shot comment is from Reddit, Nyat Cat, reacting to our last episode about whether Singapore is really the happiest country in Asia, right? Mm-hmm. That was our debate. And we talked about Singapore compared to the Scandinavian countries. So Nightcat says, I'm one of those currently living in the Scandinavian countries, but not in the capital city. Been there for a year, so won't claim to be an expert. But here are some observations. Work-life balance is a real thing here, and fathers get pretty long paternity leave. And it's very common to see fathers out with their kids on weekdays buying groceries, and also, they say, I mean, this Nyat Cat says that there's no pressure to reply emails at night or work overtime. And so from an employee point of view, it's great, but I think it also makes the country less competitive. Interesting. And they talk about that there are very, very few really low income or really, really ultra rich. And I think you mentioned about how in those countries, actually, the people don't like to flaunt their wealth so much. And this is corroborated here. But Nyat Cat also says a blue-collar worker can still easily raise a family and kids. Education is free, you know, healthcare, there's co-payment, it does make it less stressful because there's always a safety net. Also, think when it comes to rent, there are rent controls in place, right? I think we talked about people in Scandinavia going kayaking midweek as well.
Yeah.
And it says that that's more likely because meeting up for meals and all is very expensive there compared to Singapore. So the example is like Singapore, you can meet and eat prata, $5, whatever. Easy, right? Yeah. Over there, you meet for meals, expensive. So people end up just, let's go outdoors and do something together. It's free. So that makes sense. And but I think last but not least, most interesting is that he says that at the end of the day, this Nyat Cat wants to move back to Singapore because I can't stand the weather or the food here. So I mean, ultimately it just boils down to that. The very thing that we complain weather about the weather is much more positive for, people who actually live in Scandinavia.
Because it gets cold as shit there, right?
Yeah, for most of the year, yeah.
Yeah, and then the food, Singapore food is like unbeatable.
And the price, like what you said, $5 just to meet up with your friends.
It's unbeatable.
So I love these kind of things, and we know that people who are living overseas are listening to this and able to give us an on-the-ground perspective.
Solid, man.
Yeah.
Sweet. Alright, cool. What about your one-shot thing, man?
My one short thing is, I think it's something that I did mention before, but it's the ongoing, The Rock is on his way to WrestleMania, right? Mm. And basically what you're seeing now is probably The Rock's last legit run as a wrestler in the WWE. And the best thing is that he's absolutely killing it. He's embracing the role of a villain like no other. And a lot of people are excited because he's even saying a lot of non-PG jokes. You know, he makes jokes about, he makes sexual innuendo jokes about Mormons in Utah, for example. And he's just, and writing songs and singing about like Memphis and very inappropriate things.
He recently had another one you can watch on.
Yeah, yeah. He appeared in Memphis, and I think last night he appeared. So every time he comes on, it's just watching. He doesn't wrestle at all. He just comes on and just says some things, and it's always awesome. Like, it's always funny, and it's always amazing how he's embracing the role of, okay, I'm going to play the villain this round, but I also know that I'm probably the most popular person in the world right now. And how do I balance that? So he's doing something very interesting here where people are cheering for him, but they want him to be nasty to them. So it's just an amazing thing to watch. And I'm enjoying it because I know that, I mean, he's what, in his mid to late 50s already, right?
Yeah.
Or something. Or maybe early 50s, if anything.
Let me see, yeah.
The Rock age. He is 51. So he's at that age now where I think he can still put up a good performance, like when he actually wrestles. But it's probably that last hurrah already. After 51. This, it's downhill. It's really downhill already.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm just enjoying whatever little moments there are. Just little nugget is that they also brought back his, like people have analyzed it to no end, and it's quite nerdy when you go into it, but he has had a lot of different types of entrance music over his career, and they brought back the entrance music from the days when he was, the Hollywood rock, the bad guy rock, and just internet just went nuts about it because it was just so cool to, reference that from the early 2000s and all that, yeah.
Mm.
Wow. So yeah, the last few, I mean, WrestleMania is coming up already. So word on the street is that he's filming a movie after WrestleMania. So it will be WrestleMania, and then after that, you won't see him for a while again.
Shit, 51. So,
just got to enjoy it while he's still doing it.
Solid. So speaking of legends in the game who are still creating epic shit, my one-shot thing is a trailer for Conan O'Brien's new show called Must Go.
Yes.
Like, have you watched his remotes before? You have, right?
I have, yeah.
So now this is a show where he goes to Norway, Ireland, and a bunch of other countries, and just immerses himself in the culture.
Yeah.
And I think he's also joined by his longtime comedy partner in crime, Jordan Schlansky.
Mm.
And it's just hilarious. The trailer looks awesome. And I mean, I know his remote started off on YouTube. Then there was a show that was on Netflix.
Mm.
And then now this is for Max, which is, I guess, HBO Max. It looks awesome. It's hilarious.
He doesn't host anything already.
Does he have a show anymore?
Not anymore. I think he has his podcast.
He has his podcast.
Yeah.
But it's awesome because he's kind of reinvented himself, and he's still my all-time favorite late night show host.
Yeah.
He's just awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. 2018, he's a Conan O'Brien needs a friend.
Mm.
It's great.
Is it out already?
No, it's coming out 18th. The trailer came out 6 days ago, and it is streaming on 18th April.
Got it.
It looks awesome.
Okay.
Conan O'Brien, man.
Cool. Legends.
But cool. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Yeah. Remember, if you want to work with us, check us out on ministryoffunny.com. And if you want to follow us on social media,
go to follow us on social media.
Oh yeah, wherever lah.
Wherever, I mean, yeah, just wherever you're watching this, make sure to follow, subscribe.
It was a poor alley-oop.
You tried to
poor alley-oop.
Trying to trap me there. I was like, you're asking me to repeat the exact same thing.
But thanks for listening, everybody.